Mother Nature wouldn't make a mistake. What really turns me on is the shape. So what really turns me on is the shape.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Former President Trump is expected in a federal courtroom in Florida today for a closed-door hearing in the case that accuses him of illegally keeping classified documents. He also faces a deadline today to ask the U.S. Supreme Court to pause his election interference case to appeal a lower court ruling that he's immune from criminal prosecution. The FBI has joined the investigation into a shooting at a Houston megachurch.
The 2 p.m. Sunday service at Lakewood Church is conducted in Spanish. Pastor Jorge Basave had just begun the live stream. Gunshots are heard and people are seen running behind Basave. A woman who had brought a rifle into the building was shot and killed by off-duty law enforcers. Police and the FBI are searching a home thought to be connected to the suspect.
Police say the words "Free Palestine" were found on the gun used in the shooting. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin will miss this week's NATO meetings in Brussels while he's hospitalized for a bladder issue. This is ABC News. Charles Darwin is credited with introducing the concept of evolution. Today, researchers are marking what would have been his 250th birthday.
For the first time, the entirety of Charles Darwin's personal library is now available on the internet for free. The Darwin Online Project has published hundreds of thousands of books, journals, manuscripts, and images from the naturalist. Many are appearing online for the first time, including some newly discovered items. That means anyone with an internet connection can comb through Darwin's favorite novels, his personal correspondence, even illustrations. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
A change to political content on Meta platforms. Instagram and Threads will stop recommending political content proactively from accounts that you don't follow. But users can opt in to see political posts, including election-related topics. The platform says it wants to make Instagram and Threads a great experience for everyone. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Tax Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. This tax season, you get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a new Samsung Galaxy A15 for just $99. So you can give your janky phone to your kid.
Yeah!
Good talk.
Switch to Straight Talk for plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. In-store activation on single Silver Unlimited plan or higher required. Family plan discount with 4 lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Wisconsin 8th District Congressman Mike Gallagher won't be running for re-election this fall. That announcement came in a statement that the Republican Gallagher released over the weekend. During his 4 terms in the House, the Green Bay area representative has been seen as a hawk on U.S.-China relations, chairing the Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party. A statement from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin cited dysfunction in the House Republican caucus as the reason for Gallagher's decision. Former State Senator Roger Roth of Appleton said in a Saturday post on X that he'd run for the seat that Gallagher's vacating. Lawmakers in the Chippewa Valley want to reallocate untapped state funds toward emergency service grants.
It's $15 million allocated in the last state budget for HSHS to provide expanded mental health capacity. That never happened. State Senator Jesse James says the closure of HSHS hospitals will mean a loss of emergency services.
St. Joseph's campus and Sacred Heart campus accounted for almost 40% of the ER visits.
Two bills would free up the money and allow it to be used for grants to fund emergency services in the area. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Two people have died following shootings in southeast Wisconsin over the weekend. A shooting early Saturday morning on Milwaukee's northwest side left a 27-year-old pregnant woman dead. Police say the victim, identified by family as Kuvina Hickles, died at the scene. A 27-year-old man was arrested in connection to that shooting. Charges are pending review by the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office. Meanwhile, on Saturday evening, a 20-year-old man died in a Kenosha shooting. Police say the victim had multiple gunshot wounds. An ongoing investigation is looking into that incident. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
When you try Grandpa's barbecue, will it be sweet? No. Fiery hot, fruity, or honey flavored? We think not. Instead, Grandpa's barbecue is the true original flavor of barbecue. Without the hype, the additives, or the hoopla. Because this is a family recipe that's handed down by Grandpa himself. Grandpa's Barbecue. Available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A bright and beautiful day today under sunny skies and mild temperatures as highs climb to the low 40s. We hang on to the warmth through midweek, but then a storm system strikes, bringing a wintry mix and dragging in much cooler temperatures behind it for the weekend. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 39.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
This is AgriTalk this morning. We'll begin with a conversation with Machinery Pete Greg Peterson. Then it's Tanner Emke from CoBank. And directly following the news, Brett Waltz from BAM WX. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Somewhere, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Yeah, that was the crazy thing right there. All of a sudden, I couldn't hear anything.
Really? Anything at all?
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't hear anything at all. It was all gone. I was still talking, but I don't think you could hear me either.
Yes, something about bean oil. It was sounded very exciting, but we didn't catch the end of it. Yeah.
Okay, and then I said there's some dents in the armor of the used machinery market, too.
Ooh.
Can you believe that?
That's a great visual. Yeah.
Well, there you go. There you go. We will talk with Machinery Pete about that, of course, as you told everyone.
I mentioned it.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah. So welcome. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. I'm here.
You kind of broke off there again a little bit. Are you okay? You all right?
Oh, goodness gracious. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I thought everything was fully operational this morning, but maybe there are some gremlins roaming about. We'll have to deal with them. Awesome. Dude, congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs. Back-to-back, baby.
Well, thanks. And, you know, for a while there in the first quarter, I thought, oh, no, my prediction has gone horribly, horribly wrong. It is going to be 3-0, and we're going to lose.
And it's going the wrong way. Yeah.
And it was the tale of the field goal kickers, though, if you ask me. That's where the interesting stuff happened.
Absolutely.
Is it Mooney? He set Mooney. A new Super Bowl record.
Right.
And Moody, you're right. And then Butker comes in and just, you know, we're going to move it back just a little further. We're going to take that away from you after about an hour.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Exactly. Oh, it was nuts to see two record field goals in the same half.
Yep.
And the way it all happened and then that missed extra point.
Yep.
You know, you just think, it's a point. How big of it? My gosh. It was a huge deal. Huge
Absolutely
deal in last night's game. No question about it.
Well, just, and what a showing by Brock Purdy, though. Oh, my goodness. Well, that kid's got a future.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's, he absolutely, I think, absolutely has a future. Didn't do anything, you know, late in the game that I would say was a, you know, a big push to really go out and win the game. He had a couple of opportunities in overtime in particular that I thought, boy, there were some missed opportunities right there. But, you know, the seasoned veteran at a whole 28 years old came through and just marched his team down the field. I think surprised everyone when he found that receiver in the end zone on the final final play of the game.
Oh, absolutely. The Chiefs spent the whole first half in a state of shock, I feel like, to some degree.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, buddy, let's get to the news. What do you got?
Well, let's start with the National Weather Service weather outlook. A significant weather storm, a winter storm, in fact, crossing the Mid-South today will transition into a strong nor'easter for the Mid-Atlantic and up into New England by Tuesday. Areas of severe thunderstorms, heavy rainfall, and flash flooding will be possible across portions of the southeast today. New storm system will arrive across the northwest by the middle of the week with areas of locally heavy rain and mountain snowfall. Chip, southern Brazil continued to dry out during the weekend as temps were warm while rainfall was minimal. World Weather Inc. says needed rains will move into those areas Tuesday through Thursday. Another round of dry weather is expected during the middle to latter part of next week. Brazil's soybean harvest reached 23% complete as of last Thursday. This, according to AgriRal, the second fastest pace on record. That's just behind 26% in 18 and 19.
And let's not forget that the season started with some delayed plantings. And so here we are at on the second fastest harvest pace that we've seen. Obviously, it would suggest that the bean crop has been pushed by the dry conditions.
Well, Chip, a significant number of Republican senators have voiced support for a bill to provide $95 billion in foreign aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. The measure was stripped of border provisions last week after conservatives objected to a bipartisan border deal. Poland reportedly plans to initiate quality checks on all grain shipments from Ukraine, this according to the deputy ag minister. And as Polish farmers continue nationwide protests against EU policies, including allowing grain imports from the neighboring country. Indonesia's government assured consumers rice stocks were adequate amid increasing sale restrictions in retail outlets since the end of 2023. The availability of 5-kilogram sacks at modern retail outlets have been reportedly scarce since around September last year, leading to a restriction for retail customers. Chip, nothing says everything's okay.
Right.
Like, oh, there's plenty, sure.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Except for when there isn't, when you look at the shelves. You know, this is one case where your eyes definitely do not deceive you. They've got an issue over there with rice supplies.
Well, Chip, Dr. Vince Malanga says in 2024, companies will embrace a motto of, quote, doing more with less, focusing on cost-cutting measures and spending discipline to improve performance. Chip, a recent Wall Street Journal article suggests the U.S. pork industry has become too efficient. Despite producing various pork products like tenderloin, ham, sausage, and delicious bacon, there's insufficient demand to absorb the surplus, the industry exploring various strategies to address those challengers. And finally, most farm bill watchers continue to predict the new bill will come in 2025, not this year. If it comes this year, sources say it would have to make substantial progress by May. Chip, substantial progress, not their strong suit on the Hill.
Yeah, that is exactly right. And back to that Wall Street Journal article, tenderloin, ham, sausage, bacon, all from the same wonderful animal. The glorious pig. All right, let's bring in Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com. Good morning, Brett. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Chip. I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Good. Things are looking good here in the middle of the country this week, huh?
Yeah, not too bad. Hey, it's been crazy warm, really, if you think about it, over the past 7 days or so. Days in the 60s and the 70s down to the south. Severe weather, too. Up into Wisconsin and Indiana over the past 7 days. I do think that there's the potential for a little bit of a colder trend, at least a little bit of a moderation as we go throughout this week, and maybe a little clipper system bring some light snow across the north central part of the country.
Okay. Across the north central part of the country. Does north include me up here in northeast Iowa?
Yeah, you're going to be close. I think the system tracks kind of through South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin. So, you know, if it ticks a little bit further south, you're kind of right on the border there.
Gotcha. All right. Take us down to South America. Brazil, any warnings for this week?
Yeah, so I think that as we look at Brazil specifically here, I think that as we work into next week, it's probably going to get pretty active across eastern Brazil and eastern Mato Grosso. I think those areas are going to turn pretty wet. Okay. I still think that maybe, you know, Mato Grosso and Mato Grosso do Sul there into Paraná, that could be an area where we need to watch for maybe a little bit of a drier trend there.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody's trying to figure it out after last week's rains in Argentina. Does that continue this week?
You know, it's going to be drying out a little bit after the next couple of days. That's an area that probably stays a little bit drier than normal in the extended range. Still some rains to happen in the short term, though.
Gotcha. Brett, thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep. Thanks, Chip.
You bet. Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com. Of course, get more from the team at BAMWX at www.BAMWX.com. We got Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, next.
When we told growers that Bayer Premium Trifold herbicide for corn delivers visibly clean fields for up to 8 weeks, they were a bit skeptical.
We'll see how it works.
So we decided to prove it. We set up cameras in multiple cornfields, treated them with Trifold, and filmed for 24 hours a day. For 8 weeks, we saw a variety of weather conditions, and Trifold worked. See for yourself at TrifoldInAction.com. Trifold is a restricted-use pesticide. Consult your state pesticide regulator for specific restrictions. Read and follow pesticide label directions.
At FBN Finance, we know there's one thing that unites all farmers. Progress. It drives them to wake up early and be better than the day before. And whether it's a new land purchase or refinancing your ranch, FBN Finance has the agricultural expertise to help you reach your goals. Simply put, FBN Finance puts farmers first. With great rates, instant approvals, and pre-qualifications on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. And now, you can get $500 off closing costs for loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Machinery Pete here, folks. This segment of AgriTalk brought to you by our friends at Dakota Ag Innovations, makers of Dakota Shine, the best way I've seen to fix faded paint. Go to dakotashine.com or call 888-996-7801.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I am Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Monday morning. Davis Michelson is here as well. It doesn't sound like you're in any kind of recovery mode at all. You just kind of took it all in stride last night?
Absolutely, I did. Yes.
Attaboy.
I find myself re-energized, reinvigorated, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you know, when you're a dynasty, you got to act like you've been there before.
You got to, you know, you got to shape it up a little bit.
Right.
I mean, we're supposed to do this another at least once more.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to hold it together. You know, I can't fall apart every time that we win now.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
I'd be a mess.
Well, good for you. Good
it's too
you.
Much winning. It's too
you know,
much.
It's going to be a lot of hate pointed at, I shouldn't I say hate, you know, a lot of jealousy pointed at Kansas City.
There is, here. Yes.
In the year ahead. I don't think there's any question about that. All right, Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. How you doing, Greg?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys. How are you doing today?
We're doing okay, doing okay. Davis's team won. Mine did not. But, you know, life's okay. We move forward.
Yeah, you know, I on the Kansas City front, I was thinking last week I was traveling, actually. Going through Ohio, and first time ever I stopped in Canton at the Hall of Fame.
Oh.
And I texted a friend of mine from Kansas City, George Seward, and I met him at our youngest daughter's wedding. Our daughters are friends, and George was interesting, his Kansas City connection. When he was a kid, he was a roofer, and one of his jobs was for Bobby Bell. Now, okay. Younger listeners might not know that name, but if you're my age or older, my dad, Bobby Bell, Hall of Famer, played for the University of Minnesota, number 78, was a linebacker on the Chiefs Super Bowl win and Super Bowl IV, of course, over my Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
But I took a picture of Bobby Bell's bust in the Hall of Fame, and yeah. I sent it to George, and I said, hey, good luck this weekend, man. And, yeah, happy for all the Chiefs fans out there, but Niners fans, I mean, I read now they've lost, I don't know how many they've lost, three or four, but it's like, hey,
yeah.
At least you guys have won like five. Vikings yeah. fans, we're still waiting for win number one.
Yep. Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Anyway.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. All right, buddy, let's get to the pick of the week. What do you got?
Going to Oklahoma on Saturday. A consignment okay. sale by Elite Auction Company. Justin and the crew there, really a great auction company. And a big sale, but one item really jumped out at me. It was a 2011 New Holland H8060 wind rower. I think only had 184 hours on it. Excuse me, came off the Bob Davis retirement line. So, I mean, you know, 13-year-old, pre-deaf, it doesn't matter what it is, skid steer, tractor, combine, sprayer. It's going to be high, going to be a record. And it was, it brought $116K. And just for perspective, I mean, the previous record was 85.5. That was almost 12 years ago on an almost identical one on a sale in Colorado.
Wow.
So there you go. 12 years later, you go from 85K to 116K. And we posted it, of course, on social media. And one of the commenters nailed it. He goes, well, price a new one. And I was like, bingo. That's
yep.
the whole nut right there. So 116, that was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a good looking machine. There's no question about it. I'm looking at a picture of it right now. It was well taken care of, and
don't know the story on the low hours, but you know, different things happen, but when you wind up with that, especially pre-deaf, but even you know, even if it's not pre-deaf, if it's 6-7 years old with low hours, I mean, compared to the cost of a new one, it just makes, you know, moths to the flame for buyers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay. You were over in Ohio there late last week doing some work for Machine Repeat TV. What'd you see?
Well, we kind of saw more of that theme we were just talking about, low hours with some age on it, moths to the flame. So I was a farm retirement sale for Tim and Linda Stegbauer in Fayetteville, Ohio, just outside of Cincinnati, a little ways there. They had some nice green equipment, a 2013 John Deere 8285R, 1,225 hours, went for $226, fourth highest price ever. And I think when I look at our data, auction prices on 8285Rs, it's similar across the board, but it's just astounding. It's like 9 out of the 10 highest prices ever in the last year and a half. So it is what it is. Then one tractor that made me smile, guys, was the 07 John Deere 8330. 1,628 hours, and we did a preview video the day before the auction with Tim and Linda, the sellers, and this always happens. You interview someone about, you know, your farm, your equipment. You talk for 10, 20, 30 minutes, and then something comes up, and we were talking about that tractor, and Linda said, you know, Greg, that was my favorite tractor, and I was like, oh, well, that's cool. We talked about it a little more, and then it came up that Linda Stegbauer is a three-time arm wrestling champion in Brown County, Ohio. And she mentioned it kind of in passing, and I was like, whoa, 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 Linda, wait.
What?
Arm wrestling. Tell me more about that. I said, what's the secret? And she goes, it's all in quickness. And I was like, well, I did not know that. Thank you for telling me, Linda. But that's 83. Linda's 8330 went for 194, wow. Sixth highest ever. And again, it had 1,628 hours on it. A couple other items. The combine generated a lot of chatter. It was a John Deere S670. It was a 14 or 15, but it only had 562 step hours on it. Okay. Now, combines have been sliding in value.
Yep.
Because the amount of them on dealer lots and the amount is sold at auction. But Degbauer's brought 200K, which is the second highest in 14 months. So okay. I'll leave you with one more on the sale. You had a Cat skid steer. Of course, talk a lot about those, but 262 D3, only 68 hours.
Ooh.
And our camera guy, Russ Natusco, filming B-roll on the thing, and he goes, Greg, I've never seen one that, look at the back window, is just like spotless. And I'm like, yep. That's what happens, Russ, when you 68 hours and the Stegbauer's on it. And yeah. That brought 50K. So it was a fun sale Friday. We had a great time. And it was a big crowd. It was a fun old-time auction by the Wentz group. Kevin and the crew there, fantastic. So it was a good day.
All right. We'll talk about that crowd there more in just a minute, but first, talk to me about the trend that you're seeing on these combine prices.
Yeah, I mean, excuse me, I'm fighting the cold here, but like that S670, so that S600 series, I wrote and did a blog about this recently. Now that's what, 6 to 10, 12 years old, something like that. The soft spot. And because of the volume piling up on dealer lots, you going back just over a year ago, finally changing the supply issue. And then the number of the dealers jammed out onto the auction market last year. So last year, the average auction price on an S670 dropped 23.9%.
Wow.
So the average was $100,871 because there were so many of them sold. But then here's Tim and Linda's. And so this drove home a point. My old auctioneer friend, a late great Abner Jacobson from my hometown of Benson, Minnesota, when I interviewed him when he's 91 years old about bits of wisdom from the auction world and the equipment world, he said, Greg, you always got to remember when on sale day, there's only one for sale. So yeah, there's a ton of S670s out there, but you know what? Mm-hmm. There's only one that's Tim and Linda's. Mm-hmm. That's why I wanted to do the walkthrough preview video the day before the sale. And Tim was like, well, what do you want to talk about? And I'm just like, Tim, let's just stand by the combine and tell me about it. Mm-hmm. And then people four states away, when they see you and hear you talk about it. And that's, you know, just for listeners out there, that's, we have to fight our Midwesternness of like, I don't want to, I'm uncomfortable talking about my tractor.
Right.
But I'm telling you, when you're selling something, and if to whatever degree you personalize it, that's when you get 200K instead of 175.
Right.
It's dollars, bills in your pocket. And our data just screams it across the board.
Yep.
So again, the nicest condition used, even when there's a lot of supply out there, it can still bring a premium if, you know, and the Wendt Group does a great job marketing. We, of course, do what we can to help auction companies. And that was it was intense bidding on that.
Yep. Seriously. Yeah. And it sounds like there's plenty of crowd out there. There's going to be plenty of crowd down in Louisville this week. This is it, National Farm Machinery Show week.
Yeah, exciting week. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to catching up with you guys on Thursday after I'll be doing my annual seminar at 10 o'clock at South Wing 105B, I think. So come rest your feet, folks. We'll talk traffic in the market, tell some stories, and then I'm going to zip over and join you guys, I think, at 11:30 at the Case H exhibit.
Yes.
So... And our talk will be sponsored by our friend at Copperhead Ag Products, and I'll be over at their booth at 1 o'clock on Thursday, and then also Thursday at 3 o'clock at Clark's Ag Supply for the Easy Load Feed System. So it should be a fun week in Louisville.
Yeah, always a fun week in Louisville, no doubt about it. All right, buddy, we will see you down there. Thanks, man.
You bet. Catch you next week, guys.
All right. That's Greg Peterson. Machinery Pete. We're going to talk farm economy with Tanner Epke from Cobank next.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf.
Oh, a wolf.
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin. What does the turkey say? Whale.
Yeah, whale sound.
To the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Munkins. At the Mercantile Exchange, March milk up 27 to 1725. April up 23 to 1758. May up 14 to 1785. June milk up 23 at 1830. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets are mostly mixed. Live cattle, though, really leading the way lower as the trade continues to try to wrap their head around what happened last week with really not a lot of cash trade. Now, hog markets, they're trying to move higher, but still have a mixed type of trade. The market hoping to see some increased demand this week for hogs. February live cattle down 37 cents to 184.25. March feeder cattle up $1.22. to 248.37. February hogs up 5 cents to 73.72. Chicago Board of Trade corn and soybeans mostly higher, wheat mostly mixed today. Short covering providing much of the bounce in the grains today. There's really a lack of any type of fresh news to help move the markets higher. A lot of this is just nothing more than short covering. March corn up 2.5 to 431.5. New crop up 1.5 to 469.75. March beans up 11.75 to 1195.25. New crop up 7.5 to 1171.25. Chicago wheat March up 3.75 to 6.5. Minneapolis wheat March down 0.25 to 6.84. With this market update, I'm Brian Winnekins.
Join Security Financial Bank for the 4th Annual Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, February 22nd at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. Come gather strategies developed specifically for local agriculture producers, from knowing your numbers to application drones. The Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference has something for everyone. Call 715-672-2412 or visit sfbank.com for more information. SFB, an equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Soil health is one of the most important parts of your farm. Without good soil health, crop yields are affected, and so is your bottom line. Bluff Country Feed and Seed can help improve your soil health with products from Midwestern BioAg. With dry and liquid biologic fertilizers that help the soil hold nutrients for your crop, to soil and plant testing to find out how much and what type of fertilizer you need. Bluff Country Feed and Seed will improve your farm's profitability through improved soil health. Start improving your farm's soil health today. Call or visit Bluff Country Feed and Seed in Mondovi or visit them online at bluffcountryfs.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
All my reasons now. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us. Davis, at the end of last week, we were getting some of the updates on the net farm income projections from USDA, and it was not too pretty, pretty. USDA forecast a significant $40 billion plunge in 2024 net farm income compared to 2023, which was down $26 billion from the record that was set in 2022. Hmm. So that's got to have an impact on the industry, on farmer attitudes, on everything. And to talk about that with us right now is Tanner Emke. He is the lead economist for grains and oilseeds at CoBank's Knowledge Exchange Research Division. Tanner, it is good to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Chip. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, I wish we had better news to talk about.
I was going to say, I wish you had me on to talk about something a little bit happier.
Yeah.
So, but such is the nature. I don't think this is any surprise when USDA came out with their projections.
Right.
Chip, I wouldn't know of anybody that would be surprised by what they said. So hopefully we're not dropping any bombshells on anybody here about their dimmer outlook for the year ahead.
Yeah. $66 billion off in 2 years. That's a lot for any industry to absorb, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's now there's some nuance in those numbers, obviously, but across the board, man, that is a huge drop. It's all in context, although you said just a little bit ago, Chip, we're coming off some really high highs,
yes.
The last couple of years. So we can't accept that as a reasonable watermark, the last couple of years of net farm income that we've seen. So probably maybe call it a regression to the mean. If you mm-hmm. want to get into the math on it, I mean, perhaps we're trending back to something a bit more normal, if you could put it that way.
Yeah, and USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack, rightfully so, pointed out that we're coming off of a record year in 22. It wasn't a terrible year in 23, but the year ahead is going to be quite a bit softer than that and just below the inflation-adjusted average for, like, the last right. 20 years, something like that.
Yes.
It feels a little dicier than just below the average. And I don't know if it's just some I don't want to say panic, Tanner, but the conversations that I'm having with producers, and I'm thinking back to the conversations at Top Producer Summit last week, right. there is a fair amount of anxiety over what this means for their business in the long term as far as pulling the reins back on growth mode.
It's gonna cause a lot of hard conversations. Absolutely, when you look across the board, Chip, production expenses were up in their forecast. There's only a couple of outliers, fuel being one of them, interest expense being one of them. Other than those, in the USDA numbers, expenses are going to be up across the board. And as you said, it's hard to put yourself in growth mode when things are getting so expensive. At the same time, when the crops and livestock that you're selling are going to be down in price, it's the confluence of those factors that make it a really difficult period to do any sort of long range thinking. Right. When you're for some people probably going to be in a little bit of a crisis mode. It's right. hard to do long-range planning or hard to put yourself in growth mode when you're just trying to conserve the cash that you have. That it's hard to do that stuff.
Yep. Now I'm going to editorialize here just a little bit. You can do so if you want here, Tanner. But they say that part of the reason for the downfall in net farm income in 2024 is going to be the smallest government payments in 10
yes.
years. It's an
yeah.
election year. Tanner, I would think that they're going to find a way somehow to replace some of this lost farm income.
Yeah, I was looking at the farm program payments breakout in their forecast. USDA is saying the biggest drop there is in the supplemental and ad hoc disaster assistance. I was wondering about that too. You bring up a very good point there. In an election year, is the leadership in power right now going to be pulling the reins on that? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I'm not going to try to, try to throw my hat in the ring on that guess of what the political winds are going to do.
Yeah, you can't build a business plan on that idea, can you?
No, don't build your business plan on the government. That would be a mistake. so I think, you know, there's always that hope. And the other saying is never, you know, don't strategize, you know, hope is not a strategy. Right. So we can hope that, you know, the government might come in with some sort of ad hoc assistance or supplemental assistance. I would say perhaps the only outlier in what USDA is saying here is if there is an actual disaster, if we have, you know, derecho winds or hurricanes or extreme droughts. I don't think that would be happening in the current weather pattern. But, you know, those situations might merit the government to step in and provide some more supplemental assistance, because that was the biggest drop in the farm program payments category. So that all of that could change. I mean, but the problem is it's subject to the political winds, and it's so hard to judge.
Right, right. I believe you made reference to it just briefly, but the lower prices for corn, soybeans, wheat, row crop, small grains, that's really the big reason for this drop in expected farm income, correct?
Absolutely. That's the big part. I mean, expenses continue to go up, but higher expenses are not a problem if you're getting higher commodity prices to pay for it. And across the board, USDA is saying a 4% drop in all commodities, but you got to look through the numbers there. And it's clearly the crops side of things suffering more than the livestock and poultry and dairy side of things. The biggest drops there are in the grains. You know, you have corn, they have corn down about 14-15%. You know, soybeans not down as much, but they clearly have a prediction for you know, less money coming in for all oil seeds. There's about one outlier here, and that's rice. It's been a bang up year for rice producers. So because of India's export restrictions and it's been a phenomenal year for rice growers and just ridiculous export right now and exports. And you've got rice prices trending towards around contract highs. That being said, you know, otherwise across the board, you're looking at really, you know, a deflationary trend in commodity prices. This would be what you see in the outside markets as well with other commodities. You know, we talked about energy, things like that. So, those commodity prices are under pressure as we see a weakening global economy and plenty of supply. And so that's kind of filtering in here to agriculture.
Yeah.
And clearly, you know, ag commodity prices generally are under pressure. And that is the big reason, the biggest reason we're seeing about a 25% drop in net farm income this year.
Yep. Okay. Those are the USDA projections. Do you think they're right?
I think USDA is always going to be, they're going to approach it with a little bit of, you know, they're going to be conservative. That's generally, you know, the people I talk to in USDA, they don't want to try to, you know, get too far out in their projections, but a 25% drop, that is huge.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, when you look at it's both side of things, you know, the revenue down because commodity prices are down. And we know that production expenses are slow to catch up with lower commodity prices. Yeah. And so you've got that momentum of rising production costs and land values holding stable and things like that. I mean, some places still going up. At the same time, commodity prices coming down. You look at it and you say, you know what? Maybe a 25% drop isn't out of the realm of expectation, especially considering we're coming off of record highs the last couple of years. And so maybe USDA is on target. I think, I don't know. We're only one bad crop away from commodity prices coming back up though.
Yep.
And so, or, you know, some other effect, there's, you know, things outside in the geopolitical world that could drive demand back to the United States, or, you know, the dollar weakening this year. Perhaps we have a recession. The dollar weakens. That's going to put a stronger floor under commodity prices. You know, we've got, you know, some of our exporting nations need to switch some of their business back to the U.S. because of droughts and or weather issues overseas. That shifts more demand back to the U.S. And at the same time, we've got a very strong domestic story here in the U.S. with demand growing because of biofuels, specifically renewable diesel. So you've got some positive factors here, Chip, that I think you got to be a little cautious about how bad USDA is projecting the year ahead, because in some areas I think it could actually not be so bad, because there are positives in the numbers here. You can't get too down on what they're saying, but on the whole, I see what USDA is saying. Production expenses, falling commodity prices. There's generally on the whole, on that kind of scenario, there's no good story to write home about.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And the narrative is getting out there, and the anxiety is setting in among row crop producers in particular. I think that is clearly happening. Tanner, I appreciate your perspective on this, man. Thank you so much. Have a great day, okay?
You bet. Thanks a lot, Chip.
All right. That is Tanner Emke, lead economist for grains and oilseeds at CoBank's Knowledge Exchange Research Division.
My wife and I both, we ended up mildly sick for a few months, and the nasal congestion was probably the worst part. I had like a post-nasal drip, just super congested all the time. We were taking everything we possibly could, but nothing really worked.
Kyrie was miserable until a friend recommended Navage. Navage offers immediate drug-free congestion relief, flushing your nasal passages with refreshing saline and sucking out mucus, germs, and other airborne irritants. Don't live in misery this cold season. Use Navage so you can breathe easier, sleep better, and feel your best right away.
The biggest thing Navage has done has completely cleaned out my nasal passages. It was from the first use. I was able to just clear out anything that was stopping me from breathing correctly. Navage helps me clear the way, literally clear the way, for me to operate better in the rest of my life.
Experience the Navage difference yourself. Navage is available at Navage.com or at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-737-9944. That's 1-800-737-9944. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-737-9944. That's 1-800-737-9944.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
Space, the final frontier, where we are limited only by our imagination. Join us in Houston for Commodity Classic, America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused agricultural and educational event. New Frontiers in Agriculture, February 28th through March 2nd, 2024. Houston, we have no problem. Discover more at commodityclassic.com.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kelly Clarkson. Every American dreams of creating a better life for his or her family, but in some communities, those dreams face difficult challenges. When we come together to help those in need get the same opportunities as everyone else, we truly are making our country a better place to live for all of us. So look for volunteer opportunities in your community to help others achieve the American dream, all right? This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal, Davis Michelson here. Chip Flory looks on from somewhere nearby.
Oh, yeah. I'm out here.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. No doubt.
I feel like this is a big topic here. The story is being written as we go somewhat. Still some information missing here. But Tanner Emke from CoBank really put some perspective on these farm income projections, Chip.
Yeah, certainly did. And it is a story that has been developing for quite some time. And last week with the supply and demand reports that we got from USDA when they took another 35 million bushels off of the or was it 30 million bushels? Well, we've got bean carryover up to 315 million bushels now, which in the big picture is not a huge bulging supply of beans left over at the end of the year, but it's enough. Mm-hmm. It is enough, and that takes some of the vulnerability. Yeah, I guess that would be right. Okay. Vulnerability in the bean market out. And what I'm talking about is if we get into spring and there's some planting delays, or we get into midsummer and there's some less than ideal growing conditions. The corn market has got a carryover projection in place, and now so do soybeans. They've got carryover projections in place that are probably going to soften the blow of any weather-related issues out there. So it will be interesting to see if the farm income projections that we got last week were some kind of a warning, an attempt to get bad news in front of the market before we get to Thursday and Friday's Ag Outlook Forum. Mm-hmm. It's the 100th annual Ag Outlook Forum in D.C. this week. And this is USDA's first unofficial look at the 2024-25 marketing year for corn, soybeans, and wheat. And it feels like it was, let's get these farm income numbers out in front of everyone. And I'm sure that the timing is typical of what it normally would be. But let's go ahead, let's get them out there and take some of the bite out of what might be a bit of a negative outlook for the grain markets in the Ag Outlook Forum later this week.
Are you suggesting that maybe we're boiling the frog here just a little bit incrementally, and we could see even lower figures coming out of the Ag Outlook Forum?
I wouldn't say lower figures, but I would say, you know, it's like I asked Tanner. did these numbers make sense to you? I'm sure that there are a lot of people that are crunching the numbers and saying, eh, that's maybe a little bit too aggressive on the outlook for the decline in farm income. We should be penciling in more of X. Well, if we don't see a whole lot of support for more farm income in the storylines that come out of the Ag Outlook Forum, then it's going to be difficult to generate much buying interest, especially with the funds as short as they are.
Yeah.
Davis, yeah. We not only have to get the funds, it's a three-stage effort now. Number one, get them to stop selling.
Yep.
It was number one was get them out of those short positions. But now number one is get them to stop selling. Number two, get them out of short positions. Number three, give them a reason to get onto the long side of the market.
Yep. You know, all this talk kind of takes me back a little bit to the conversation we had with Jody Lawrence on, was that Friday afternoon?
Friday, yeah.
Boy, it seems so long ago, you know? It's almost like a Super Bowl victory ago.
You're right.
It's weird.
Right.
Yeah. With the genetics, talking about the genetic breakthrough, and, I mean, what if we're too good with these genetics here, bro, and yields just continue to not care as much about the weather, and they continue to improve, and we've got these massive yields coming out of the fields no matter what we throw at a crop. How much does that sort of thinking figure in to these outlooks, if any? I don't know.
I thought
it was a great point.
I don't know if it factors in. Oh, it is a great point. I don't know if it factors into the outlook forum.
Okay.
It will factor into the market performance if we get into the 24 growing season and there are some issues. You want to, I got to believe it's going to be a prove it attitude among everybody in the markets right now. And I got more encouragement over the weekend. I can't recall exactly who it was from, but more encouragement over the weekend to get somebody on, and I'm still looking for this for the right person.
Okay.
To get somebody on and talk about the impact of the Canadian fires and the amount of carbon that it added to, you know, with the smoke comes carbon. All the
particulate matter in the air, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, baby.
Absolutely. And, you know, if there's one thing plants love, it's CO2 and carbon.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of what they grow on. So we need to keep that in mind, too. No two growing seasons are the same, but this 2023 season was one that was really, really strange, and it's still going to take some dissecting and evaluation to figure out exactly why what happened. That is the bottom line there. All right. Thanks for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. Jack Hanley from Tucrium ETFs is going to be our guest. And I'm going to be on the road tomorrow making my way down to Louisville for the National Farm Machinery Show. Michelle Rook and Davis will be here to keep the conversation going right here on AgriTalk.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends for grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
I taught for 20 years, until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation, together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating.